Let's turn back then to John's Gospel and that portion we read in John 10. So we continue to worship God, we come to His Word, and we're going to pray and ask God to help us. Dear Lord our God, we thank You that You have not left us to grope in the darkness. We thank You that the entrance of Thy Word bringeth light. We thank You, Lord God, that everything we need to know about ourselves and about You is written here in this Word. It's Your Word. It's Your voice we long to hear, Lord. We are frankly fed up of the words of men and women and the philosophers and the wise of this age. Lord, we want You to speak. We thank You that we live not by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from Thy mouth. We thank You that we have Your Word in its entirety. And we pray You would speak deep into our hearts. This Word that is able to make us wise unto salvation, able to strengthen us day by day on this path that leads to Thy presence. The end of our journey is God. And our Father, then, we would ask, You would open Your Word to us, send He Thy Spirit to us, and may we see much of You and of Jesus. And helped by Thy Spirit, may we glorify Thee in our worship. For Jesus' sake, amen. At the heart, the very heart of the Christian religion, is a man. He is the man Christ Jesus. It's where we get Christianity from. It's undeniable. And I trust and imagine that these past days and weeks, indeed, you have been confronted by this man, the baby Jesus of Bethlehem's manger. In time, the baby grows up and he becomes the man, Christ Jesus, perfect in humanity. And at about the age of 30, he enters a public ministry which lasts for about 3 years. And those 3 years of his public ministry, John, as he constructs his gospel, brings into 11 chapters. And then the last week of his life, the evangelist John devotes the last from chapter 12 on. So here, as we mentioned earlier, we are at the very end of 3 years of public ministry. And at the end of 3 years of public ministry, there's still this big question concerning this man. What kind of man is he? 2,000 years on, the church has battled and still battles with heresy concerning this man. Is he truly human, or is he not? Because if he's not human, then we have a real problem relating to him. Maybe he's just God appearing to be a man. And every heresy concerning Jesus Christ has in some way or another, to one degree or another, been around whether he is God only, man only, or somewhere on that extreme, he's 50% man, 50% God. Maybe that's a compromise. It's not a compromise, it's heresy. Jehovah's Witnesses, of course, are classic in their heresy. They see in Jesus a good man, but he's not God. But there have been Jehovah's Witnesses for a long, long time, and there are many people whose theology is close to Jehovah's Witnesses and they don't understand it. Jesus here again, as John would construct his gospel to the end of his public ministry, is questioned as to who exactly he is. So there you have verse 24, the Jews surrounded him and said to him, I think it's more they surrounded him and demanded of him. But nonetheless, you can feel their determination. How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Is he really the Christ? Who is this man? The thing is, of course, that Jesus, we know, has been telling them absolutely plainly that he is the Christ. For in verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. He has been very plain with them. And he has also said that God is his Father. Verse 29 would suffice. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And these marvelous words in verse 30, I and my Father are one. So God is his Father. He's a son of God. That's what his opponents understand him to be saying. He is claiming to be God. And in many other places, Jesus has been very plain. And that's what his enemies understood his position to be. So we come to verses 31 and 33. We read these words. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. So we dwell on verse 33. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. You, being a man, make yourself God. Now, some translations would say, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. This man, Jesus, he's the very center of our faith and of the Christian religion. It's founded on a man, the man Christ Jesus. That's the end of 3 years public ministry, and they still don't know. They want to know who he is. Now here we are, we're at the end of Christmas season. And for weeks now you've been gazing at this man. Although as a baby, but nonetheless you've been gazing at him. And you've had Christmas cards with all the texts that relate to him. And I'm sure you've had many sermons, and you've been in very many services. This baby who will become the man Christ Jesus in his adulthood. You've been gazing at him for weeks. So what's your conclusion about him? I confess then, through December you've not had a longer time as these Jews had, 3 years. But nonetheless, you've had long enough. So what do you make of this man? What do you make of this statement? Because you, being a man, make yourself God. That's their judgment on the man Jesus. You, being a man, make yourself God. So this morning, are they right? Or are they wrong? Or don't you know? When people say of Jesus, he was just a man making himself God, are they right? Or are they wrong? Or don't you know? Maybe you are a Jehovah's Witness and you don't know it. One of the things we have to do as we rightly divide the word of God, this will upset a few deacons and elders here, but you have to just bear with me before you drag me off the pulpit, but You mustn't believe everything you read in the Bible. The Bible is truth, but it contains mistakes. There are a couple in John 10. Let me take you to John 10, verse 20. Many of them said of Jesus Christ, mark you, he has a demon and is mad. Are they right? They're not right. They're mistaken. More than that, they're blaspheming. Jesus never had a demon. Jesus was never mad. But John, of course, has rightly recorded what they said. But although he has rightly recorded what they said, it doesn't mean that what they said is true. It's very much false. And that's what I mean by don't believe everything you read in your Bible. There are many, many places in the Bible that have terrible mistakes in them. They're always from the lips of those who are the enemies of God. John 10:20 is one such place. They're wrong. He never had a demon, and he was never mad. In verse 33, the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." They, my dear friend, are wrong. It's not a, I don't know. It's not a, perhaps they're right. They are wrong. And they've completely missed everything they were meant to see about Jesus. That's why I made much of pointing out to you that this is the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. Because you're meant to see in John 10 an echo back to the beginning. John opens his gospel by these wonderful words, that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. John 1:14, the Word became flesh. 3 years of public ministry later, and there are people saying, "Oh, that's not right. This is just a man trying to be God." Jesus is not a man trying to be God. He's God who has become man. And if you don't know that, then you don't know Jesus of the Bible. It's not something that you should be undecided about or vague about. When you read John 10:33, you should be saying, they're wrong. They're wrong big time. And they're blaspheming the one they accuse of blasphemy. This is no man trying to be God. This is God who has become man. Therein is the center of the Christian faith. As an aside, but it's hardly an aside, there are some wonderful things in the introductions of the apostles' letters. In the introduction, as it were, to the letter to the church in Galatia, churches in Galatia. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 1, "Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead." Now that's an interesting thing, because in Galatians 1 verse 1 the Apostle Paul says that he's not had his ministry, he's not received his salvation from men or through man, but through Jesus Christ. But the Apostle Paul knows that Jesus Christ is a man. It's the Apostle Paul who tells us that there's one mediator between men and God, the man Christ Jesus. It's the Apostle Paul who tells us famously in Romans 5, verse 19 on, as an example of many, but in Romans 5, sin came into the world through one man, Adam. Salvation has come through one man, Jesus Christ, and so on. He makes that comparison. But the Apostle Paul says he is an apostle, not from man nor through man, but through Jesus Christ. Because the Apostle Paul knows, as every Christian knows, that Jesus Christ is no ordinary man. He's a unique man. He's truly human. But he's not just a human who's trying to make himself God. He is God who has not set aside any of his deity, but added to his deity humanity, and he has come in human form. This is our Jesus, our Savior, and our Lord. Back in John 10, Jesus responds to these Jews who are wrong. He responds in remarkable words, verses 34 through to 36. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? We've not got time to go into this morning, and it is difficult to say the least. But nonetheless, Jesus points out to them from this psalm that in a way he seeks really to buy time. I think that's why he directs them here. He buys time and escapes, of course. But the situation really is, of course, that Israel in the Old Testament is given rule and dominion. Man is given rule and dominion. The Apostle Peter tells us that as Christians we become partakers of the divine nature. Gods with a small g. We are amazingly transformed in Christ Jesus. We are raised into the heavenly realms and in him. All that he has, we have. We are brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs with him. We never become gods, but we are given rule and dominion, which was lost in the fall. But moving on from that, let's be absolutely sure then that these Jews in John 10:33 were wrong. And it still leaves us with a question: what sort of man is this Jesus? They claim that he's a man making himself God, and they are wrong, because this is God making himself man. There is no salvation for anyone if these Jews of John 10:33 are right, by the way. That's what's at stake. Praise God, they're wrong, and there is salvation because God has become man. So we're not going to take heed to the theology of these Jews in John 10:33, but nonetheless, we are going to rejoice this morning and take heed to the understanding and the theology of many other Jews. Because although these Jews would not believe, there were many, of course, who did and who continue to believe and trust in him. One, of course, was the Apostle Paul, a Jew above all Jews, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, is the Apostle Paul. We're going to come back to John 10, but just briefly let me take you this wonderful passage in Philippians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul tells us, "Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name," and so on. Now you go back to John 10, you find other Jews. There at the end of John 10, you find Jews who believe in Jesus. And in verse 41, he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. And then many came to him. Praise God, many came to him. and said, John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true, and many believed in him there. They are referring, of course, to John the Baptist. And they say that everything that John the Baptist said about Jesus is true. That's a wonderful statement. Jesus thought much of John the Baptist. As I'm sure you know, Jesus said of John the Baptist that there has been no greater man than John the Baptist. No greater man born of woman than John the Baptist. What a testimony that is. What a commendation. And John the Baptist, we are told here in John 10, everything John the Baptist said about Jesus is true. So it strikes me that it would be good then not to take the testimony of the Jews of John 10:33 as to who this man Jesus is, but rather to take the testimony of John the Baptist. So we're going to go back to the beginning of John's Gospel, John chapter 1, and spend some time considering the things that John the Baptist said about Jesus. John chapter 1, the beginning of Jesus' life on earth, his public ministry. John 10, the very end, getting to the end. John 11, which I don't believe is chronological, but John 11, the great miracle of Jesus raising Lazarus. So here you have the beginning and the end of this public ministry. And at the end, after gazing at Jesus, there are those who think, this is just a man trying to be God. What blasphemy. But they've missed what has been plainly taught. So before we get to John the Baptist, let me just remind you of those words in John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus. That's God who has become man. No man trying to make himself God. God has become man, and we've beheld his glory. Everything John the Baptist said about him was true. What did John the Baptist say about him? Verse 23. John the Baptist said, He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. According to John the Baptist, the man Jesus is the Lord God Almighty. Who are you, John the Baptist? Are you the Christ? No, I'm not the Christ. But I'm one sent before to make way, the way of the Lord. The one I'm introducing to you is the Lord God Almighty. John the Baptist never did any signs, but everything he said about Jesus is true. That's what the Jews said who believed in Jesus. John 10, verse 42. Is that what you say about Jesus? Having contemplated him this Christmas time, maybe you've contemplated him for many a year. Maybe you've pondered. Maybe you've had JW at your door telling you something else. Jehovah's Witnesses will not tell you that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everything they say is a lie. Everything John the Baptist said about Jesus is truth. According to John the Baptist, Jesus Christ is the Lord God Almighty. And he has come, John the Baptist has come, to make straight the way of the Lord. John the Baptist said many things about Jesus. Verse 29 of John 1. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. According to John the Baptist, the man Christ Jesus has come to deal with sin. That's pretty clear. John the Baptist said, and would say to anyone, you want to behold this man, gaze upon him, this Jesus. Some people will tell you he's just a man, he's just an imposter. Some people will tell you he's got a demon. Some people will say he's mad, he thinks he's God. Some people will try and stone him because he's just a man making himself God. John the Baptist says, no, no. This is the Lord God Almighty who's come in flesh and he's come to deal with sin. Wonderful thing in this great statement of John the Baptist is that the sin that Jesus has come to deal with must be yours. Must be yours. Because Jesus has come to deal with the sin of the world. Did you notice that? And there's no one exempted or to whom this doesn't apply. Because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus has not come to collect the good people and take them to heaven. He's come to deal with very bad people. People who live their lives centered upon themselves in rebellion to God. And who are so sinful that in many ways they don't see their sin. That's their greatest need. They actually think that they are morally good or morally neutral. Many of them clothe themselves with a moralist, a relative morality. I'm not perfect, but at least I'm not as bad as the man, the woman, the girl down the road. And if some good people will get to heaven, then I'll certainly be there because the guy down the road's a lot worse than me. Your sin is an offense to God. Your sin separates you from God. But praise God, according to John the Baptist, Jesus Christ has come to deal with your sin. It's hard to see that as you gaze at a manger as your focus this Christmas time. But the child in the manger will become a real human man. In his prime, he will go to the cross. And at the cross, that first Easter, the wrath of God against your sin is laid upon the man Christ Jesus. According to John the Baptist, Jesus deals with sin. John the Baptist says in John chapter 1 verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. He's a man. That he existed long before John the Baptist. According to John the Baptist, the man Christ Jesus is from all eternity, or at least is before John. But in the context of John's Gospel, John chapter 1, then what we're being pointed to is the eternal God. God the Son, who with the Spirit and with the Father is eternally God. It's a mystery when Jesus speaks to the Jews in John 8 and says, before Abraham was, I am. They can't understand that. But this is the eternal God. He's always been God. He's God without beginning. He was before John. He was before Abraham. He was before Adam. He has no beginning. He is Alpha and Omega. This man, Jesus. Do you still have any doubt as to whether the Jews of John 10:33 were right? They're absolutely wrong. They can't be more wrong. This is no man making himself God. This is God who has become man The Lord God Almighty is his name. He's become man to save men and women from their sin. And he's had a view to that from all eternity. Everything John the Baptist said about this man has been true. John 1 verse 33. John the Baptist said of Jesus, additionally, I do not know him. But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. According to John the Baptist, Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. That's the great wonder. There is no Christian who does not have living within him or her the Holy Spirit of God. Or to put the same statement another way, the way the Apostle Paul puts it in Romans 8, if you do not have the Holy Spirit of God living within you, then you're not a Christian. You are none of his, period. What a statement that is. The Son, because the Son of God has come, because this man Christ Jesus is the Lord God Almighty, God in flesh, because he has come to deal with sin, it's the evangelist John, the Apostle John, who tells us later that the Spirit was not yet come because the Son was not glorified. But the Son in time, of course, is glorified. He's glorified on that cross of crucifixion. Isn't it a wonderful thing that the true glory of God is not seen? The true glory of God is not seen on the Mount of Transfiguration, although it's seen partially. The true glory of God is seen at the Mount of Crucifixion. The Son of Man is glorified. He's glorified because on the cross of crucifixion he defeats sin and death and hell and Satan. He takes upon himself all your sin and mine, an enormity of sin, and all that sin is consumed and burnt up as the wrath of God is poured upon him. And in exchange he gives to every believer his righteousness, his obedience. And he baptizes them in the Holy Spirit of God. That's not a man who's just making himself God. This is Jesus, God, who has made himself man. Much more John the Baptist says about Jesus, but that will suffice. At the end of his public ministry, the Jews, a great company of them, say, look, stop keeping us in suspense. Who are you? Jesus said, I've told you, I am the Christ. I am God's anointed servant, promised, the Saviour promised long. He's truly man. But God is his Father because he's God the Son, and he's told them plainly. And they will not believe. 3 years of public ministry. They saw miracle after miracle. They heard wisdom come from his lips. No man spake like this man. But at the last, their final analysis of the man Jesus was, you're blaspheming because you, being a man, make yourself God. How wrong they were. Dear friends, at the end of 4 or 5 weeks of Christmas, sermons, carols, Christmas cards, texts, you need to make a judgment about the man Jesus, that baby in the manger. Who is he? The Jews were wrong. John 10:33. Don't join them. Don't come to a place like this when in reality you're really just a Jehovah's Witness and you think Jesus was a nice man. And you might even think he was a very, very good man. You might even think you're complimenting him by saying he was a man making himself God. You're not. The greatest insult you can make to Jesus is to say he was just a man trying to be God. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The man Jesus is the God-man. The Word became flesh. God became man, not the other way around. This morning, is this man, Jesus, the man that you know and trust and adore and have as your Savior, your Lord? And as you gaze, still looking back, but as you gaze at the manger and the baby, who is it in yonder stall? We're going to close as we sing this hymn. There's no line in it that says, who is this in yonder stall? It's just a man making himself God. There's no line like that. Who is he in yonder stall? 'Tis the Lord. Oh, wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. May you know that this morning. And may God be praised. Amen.